as a bird to your mountain, thou who art weary of sin, go to the clear flowing fountain where you may wash and be clean. Fly, for the Avenger is near thee. Call and the Savior will hear thee. He on his bosom will bear thee. Oh, thou who art weary of sin, oh, thou who art weary of sin, he will protect thee forever. Wipe every falling tear. He will forsake thee no never. Sheltered so tenderly there, hasten the daylight is flying. Spend not the moments in sighing. Cease from your sorrow and crying. The Savior will wipe every tear. Yes, Jesus will wipe every tear.
Good morning. Well, it started out to be a beautiful day, and it's going to end that way. By asking the question, where is God? I'm not asking or even suggesting that he isn't here. In fact, I'm reminded of a song, Holy Ground, if you know that. We are standing on holy ground, and I know there are angels all around. We have invited the Spirit of God in, and so I know he's present. But we're going to take a different kind of look, another look at where God is today. With that said, I'm reminded of a story of two boys, very, very mischievous boys, by the way, real rascals, well known in their neighborhood. And the reason is because if something was missing, these were two brothers, and they were in cahoots with each other, you knew where to look. And if your dog returned home, and he was red when he left, but he was green when he got back, you knew who was responsible. And they were real troublemakers, and they were well known in their neighborhood. When something went wrong, that's who got the blame. And usually, it was well deserved. Well, the parents were beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. And they had disciplined them, and they had tried everything. And finally, the microphone fell off. Maybe I'm not supposed to tell this story. But mom decided we better call the pastor in. And the pastor was well known for dealing with kids' problems. And he said, I'll agree to that on one condition, and that is that you separate the two boys. I'll speak to the younger one first. And so a time was set, and the pastor came to the home, and the older boy stayed upstairs in the bedroom, and the younger boy was in the living room, and pastor came in, and he sat down, and the mother left. And there was the young boy and the pastor all alone. And the pastor kind of pulled his chair up in front of the boy, and he asked him point blank but nicely, where is God? And the boy just kind of looked up, blank stare, and his jaw dropped, but he didn't say anything. And so the pastor, little more, where is God? And about that time, the boy's eyes just became as big as pancakes. The color left his face, and he still didn't speak anything, didn't say a word. So the pastor got right up to him, and he did like that. Where is God? With that, the boy jumped up, shouted, ran out of the room, ran upstairs, opened the bedroom door, went to the closet where his big, brave older brother was hiding, ripped it open, and he says, we are in big trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it. But God is missing in the lives of many people today. Why? Probably because many of people are looking in the wrong place. As a person who's been converted to Christianity and a member of this church, I know from experience I looked in many wrong places. But if it's a secular place, today theistic evolution is big, and it's the wrong place to be looking for God. If it doesn't keep the seventh day holy, it's wrong. It's the wrong place. If it isn't Christ-centered, it is wrong. It is the wrong place. And if it's just someone's opinion, it's very, very wrong. All of those places and a host of many more are disappointing. In fact, outside of the church, when you go out there, it's sad how little truth there is in today's society. It is changing so fast, so rapidly, and the deception is so powerful, it is almost overwhelming to those who aren't observant and to those who don't read and study this book. We need it. We need it. Well, I did. I went to many different churches looking for truth. Most preached about sin, but to be honest with you, I had to ask myself when I left many of them, where was God? You see, and better yet, maybe the question is, what was he doing? The fact is that many of the sermons I used to listen to before I met this church were emotionally based sermons, and they left me crying but not knowing God. And I really am a seeker of truth. I want to know what I believe in, and I want to know my Maker. And someday, I want to be with him. Well, one day, as it happened, I tuned on the radio, and I listened to various Christian programs, and they didn't have 3ABN and Hope and all of these channels back then. It's been many years ago. But I tuned in the Voice of Prophecy. That's a very old radio program. In fact, I think it's the second oldest ever. And they led me into finding, quote, the way. I did their studies. I still have my original studies. But in doing those studies and in finding the way, it ended my search for the truth, because this is where I landed. This is where I ended up out of all of them. And I boast a little on that, but I feel there's room for that. I do. I feel when I leave here, I know God. I know the truth. I don't know everything, but I know in whom I have believed. So the fact is, if you want to know God, I'm going to tune in this pointer. I'm not used to this one. It's new. It looks good. But if you want to know God, you have to go to the sanctuary, because thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. That's our scripture reading for this morning. And before Voice of Prophecy came into my life, frankly, in going to all of those other churches, and I'm not sounding offensive, I hope. There's many Christians in all of those other churches. But I had never heard about the sanctuary service in other churches. I'd never heard of it. And I don't know, some of them, as I understand it today, have discovered the sanctuary, and they're talking about them. But there are Christians in all of these churches, and someday that 3ABN message or three angels message of come out of her, my people, is going to ring loud and clear to them. Well, actually, I learned that eventually nearly all of Scripture is written in sanctuary language. And I just have to ask you, did you know that? You can find the sanctuary throughout all the stories of the Bible, most of them. And historically, I don't know how many of you watched this film that's out, Tell the World, for Vespers last Sabbath, we watched that. But when you study the history of our church, you find that the sanctuary was the key which unlocked the mystery of the disappointment. And it was an extremely important thing, having thought that the earth was where Christ was coming when he entered the sanctuary, actually, in heaven. That great Advent movement so long ago opened up, the discovery of the sanctuary opened up a complete system of truth. And it was known as the Key of David, the key to the whole Bible, actually. And we're going to take a look at some brief studies to encourage you to read the Bible from this perspective of the sanctuary message that's in there this morning. And let's see if I can get this right. Where do I point this? At the screen? Or the arrow. I'm sorry, I did the pointer. All right, let's see. There we go. Okay, there it is. Thank you. Well, the first one here is what I'd like for you to just think in terms here. Many people look, and it's called the shadow of the cross. Why? Well, because the real sanctuary is in heaven. But we know there was a sanctuary on earth, and it gives us, when we read it, when we study it, it gives us a perspective of where Jesus, where God is right now, and what he is doing. And that's just simply what this is about this morning. The first thing we do is we notice we come to the foot of the cross here. And you can see there's kind of a diagram in here of a cross section in the sanctuary, and many people have looked at this before. The very first thing at the foot of the cross is the altar of burnt offering. That's where the sacrifice was made. In the sanctuary message, this is the courtyard out here, and we'll get better pictures of this shortly. But that is the earth, and Christ came to the earth. That is where the sacrifice was made. That's where the cross comes to us, is here on planet Earth. Out of everything that's out there, think about that sacrifice happening here where you and I live. And the laver there then is where you think of it in terms, it's baptism, it's where the priest washed himself for purity before going into the sanctuary. But this is also symbolic of Christ washing us with his blood. There was a great man who spoke in Selma, Alabama in the 60s when racial tensions were extremely high. And he walked out into a church that was divided, black and white. And this is what he said when he walked out there. He pointed towards the black people and he had the boldness to say, there will not be any black people in heaven. And then he pointed towards the white section and he says, I have news for you. There won't be any white people in heaven either. And you can imagine there was no breathing going on by now. And then he made the statement, the clearest statement that you can make. There will only be red men washed in the blood of the Lamb. So we take a look at this. Then we go into another compartment here. This is a doorway here. It's called the way. This is one into this section here. The table of showbread and the candlestick there. The showbread is symbolic of it's this book. It's the Word of God. And when you get into this compartment, we must take the Word of God. We must study it. And then we come to the altar of incense with our prayers. We make our requests made. We go through this reading of it. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and we begin to understand God more and what he wants of our lives for us. And the candlestick, by the way, over here, seven churches, seven periods of time. You find them in the book of Revelation. But it is the oil in there that represents the Holy Spirit, so that when that burns, we want that in our heart. We want that light-giving force in our heart. We'll get to that as what all of that works pretty soon. But that altar of incense, that is on Christ's heart. So these placements become part of the cross, because this is a sacrifice. This is at another section, maybe his arms outstretched, come up here. Head here, why? Well, that's the Ark of the Covenant. That is where the tables of the law are. And that is, Christ was always referring to the law and the prophets. What was on his heart was our prayers ascending to heaven. What was in his mind was the law and the prophet. He was always referring to these things. There we go. So now we come to biblical salvation then. I don't know if there's any other way. It's real easy to weed out all of the other churches. You remember when Brian McMahon was up here, he mentioned, I think, 30-some thousand religions in the world today. It's easy to get rid of most of them from the basis of one fact. Most of them are built upon salvation by works, if there's salvation at all in them. Most of them are just kind of a dreamy mystique. But in this diagram here, there are three stages to salvation, and perfection is the goal, but there's justification, sanctification, perfection. And you notice up here that this is a pathway of Christ in providing the atonement. Christ has a divine nature, but he came down here to Calvary. Calvary known as Golgotha. Golgotha is a term, I don't like it, but it means the skull. If you were to go to Israel, where they think all of this took place, you would find they thought this is where Adam's skull had been buried. There are also in the geographical features there, things that look like a place of a skull, and it simply became known as that place, that time. But he came down from his glory to us at Calvary. He was sacrificed, and our pathway here of the believer in appropriating the atonement is listed here. Now, we're going to take a look at this in two different forms here, two different slides. The thing that we differ from many people, is many people believe today that if you are under grace, the rest of this doesn't matter, because you see, this is going to end up here at the law, but they think the law has been done away with. But that would leave out their repent. They repent, many churches, they're baptized, by faith, and the lever is a symbol of that. But what happens to sanctification and the fact that God wants us back in the image that he created us, which is perfection. Adam and Eve were perfect when he created them. So we want to observe that Christ left the temple in heaven. There is a heavenly tabernacle there. He came down to earth, unimaginable, and that when we accept this, we repent, we accept his sacrifice, our sins are justified. He has paid the debt for our sins. But it doesn't stop there, dear friends. This is the second veil. This is the veil here, the door that he came from, known as the way. By the way, this is the north sides here. That has meaning we don't have the time to go into, but it's very interesting study, particularly when you think in terms of where Satan wanted to usurp power from God on the north sides there. But this is faces the east. Our church here faces the east. Why? Now, when you come into a tabernacle, your back, if you came in, would face the rising sun. And that says something about worship of the sun. There was lots of it. And God did not want people worshiping the sun. He wanted them to face him. He wanted to face this way. So they came in here by way of the sacrifice. If they repented, they were justified by faith, they were baptized, they could enter in through the second. And this is called the holy, holy place here. But that is the place of sanctification where the growing up process happens. They have a human nature. You and I have a human nature. He had a divine nature. We need to get to this divine nature. These five pillars here represent your five senses. Well, they've all been adulterated. If you have bad habits, let me give you an example of that. Sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay for the sake of time. On Sabbath afternoons, after church, after potluck, I had a habit of walking down Garden Valley in front of Freddy's, through the vets. It's very peaceful through there, you know, and you go over by the train, and then when you come back in, you're behind the Y. Well, in the summertime, there are ballparks there. I came through there one day years ago, and I noticed a team who had logo T-shirts on of something Christian. As I walked up there, they were kind of finishing up a game, and then the bleachers were emptied in, but I stood there by one watching them. I wanted to know what this team was about, what was going on. A man walked over to me, and he said, "Do you have a knife?" And I carry a little penknife like that, and I, okay, yeah. I gave it to him, and then he pulled out a can of chewing tobacco. And he used my knife, and he went around the can of chewing tobacco, and I'm standing there kind of dumbfounded. And this is one of those conundrum situations that it's a puzzle. There's no explanation for it. And I looked, and I probably mumbled, but I looked at his T-shirt, and he could see me. We were right there. And I said, "Are you a Christian?" And it just kind of came out like that, you know, because you're supposed to be, aren't you? Isn't that what it says? And he had the tobacco open by now, and he had the knife in his hand like this, and he said, "Listen, I've given up every vice except this, and I'm not giving it up." And well, he was had my knife waving it like this, and I, "Hey, whatever you want," you know. He gave me my knife back, but here's the point. Here's the point. These are your five senses. Now, when we enter the growing up process here, we have a lot of baggage with us. Yes, he has his sacrifice has justified our sins, but when we are sanctified, when we are under sanctification, we are in a changing process. We have a lot of baggage in our lives too. And so when we come in here, some of the baggage comes in with us. We don't like that. But it happens.
And so he wants to get rid of it. And all of the cares of the world, the things that have affected those five senses, is the sanctification process that he is working with. So we take it to God. We study his word. And we learn that tobacco, for example, is not healthy. And we pray about it. And the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it. And when the light comes and we are relieved of it, he takes it away from us. Now he can take us and he can use us. Those works follow us, and he can use us to help somebody else who has that bad habit. Do you see how that act of sanctification works? And the whole thing is directed in towards our growing up into Christ, because we want to reach perfection. We will never have a divine nature. We can't be God, but we can be God-like. Jesus said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh but by me." Well, that's another way that does away with all those other religions. If they're not Christian, they're out of here. That doesn't have a citation. I think that's John 14:6. Well, some don't believe because they've never seen God. I've had people tell me that. Nobody's ever seen him. He hasn't been here or anything. Luke 1:18 does say, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son." Now remember, this is Jesus we're studying. This is how we got here to the sanctuary. We're looking at the life of Jesus. He invited us in, and he invites us to take part of his sacrifice so that we can become like him. He is the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. But in answer to Philip's question, you know, Philip asked him, "Show us the Father." And his answer was, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." This was Jesus' purpose in coming in here, to restore us and to bring us back to the Father. There will come a day when he will take us, and he will take us to heaven, and he will present us to the Father. So the question is, can you see Jesus in the sanctuary? Because that's the way back to the Father. "Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth." That's John 17:17. There are three doors in the sanctuary, as mentioned here. The way, the entrance, and the truth. This is a veil, and that was torn at his crucifixion from the top to the bottom. Many of you know this. But that veil represented his life. And that's in the book of Hebrews, which goes way into depth into this sanctuary thing. And in Hebrews 20:20, his flesh was torn for us, it says. And in Hebrews 10:5, he had already declared, "A body thou, God the Father, has prepared for me." So I would ask you this question: are you thankful this morning that you are in this church and you found the truth? I know I certainly am. Now comes another one. It is the Lord's Prayer in the sanctuary. I don't know if you've ever seen this or heard this before. "Our Father, which art in heaven." Well, that is God the Father. This is where he is, in the heavenly sanctuary. I was mentioning to this morning in our class, "Hallowed be thy name." I've worked with many people who didn't hallow that name very much. And even there's an expression today that is very openly used, loosely used, OMG. It's an exclamation, "Oh my God," but it is carelessly and ruthlessly used. It is a horrible, unhallowed way of blaspheming the name of God. It really is. it is a sad thing in our society today. Thy kingdom come, the holy place here. We are in the kingdom of grace. We are not in the kingdom of glory yet, folks, but we are headed there. That's the whole intent of the sanctuary, is to get us there. Thy will be done. Now, remember, we talked about the five senses here. What is the will of God? Well, when we come in here, it is to clean these up. Our emotions, by the way, should never lead us. Only our brains should. But our brains are fed by those five senses, what we see, what we hear, taste, smell, touch. All go on the nerve pathways, but they end up in the brain. And that's what filters out all the nonsense. But the word of God should be kept, and the nonsense should be rejected. It starts on earth with a sacrifice, folks. Thy will be done where? In earth. How? The same as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We need a daily reading and study of the scriptures to stay in tune with God. We really do. And besides, do we live by bread alone? You know, when it says Christ was talking about appetite and pleasure, he was really addressing this thing right here. What we really need is spiritual food. Really need spiritual food. And the forgiveness. You know, this here is one of the hardest things to learn, and you have to come in here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Many people find it difficult to forgive, but there are also many people who find it difficult to be forgiven. God forgives us, and to get there, to get with him, we need to be accepting of that. We need to be accepting of the fact that Jesus justified our sins. He forgives us for our wrongdoing, and he wants to move us along to eternity. Lead us not into temptation. You know, the oil of the candlestick has to do with this, and the reason is that's the Holy Spirit, and that's light. Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was, but he was delivered from evil. Why? Because he had the Word of God in him. You can face temptation. It doesn't mean that you have to do evil. We will all and have all been tempted. So we are delivered from evil. And for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So I wanted to just touch base with you this morning on the sanctuary, and particularly in the Lord's Prayer and the significance of that. The light that we have started with his sacrifice. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day, from Proverbs 4:8. This is the path of the just. It started here. There is a very small light from the coals. What Jesus started with that sacrifice would go on, and it has gone on. It was prophesied. He did come. He shed his blood. As we enter here under sanctification, the small light grows into a larger light. And someday, when we are with God, you know, the New Jerusalem does not need any light because it has the light of his glory. When we reach glorification, it is the brightest light there is. So my prayer this morning is that I hope each of us can run the race and seek all the light there is and the glorification to come with it. Amen.
Our Our hymn of dedication is Live Out Thy Life Within Me. It is hymn number 316, and let's sing the first and last stanzas together. Would you stand with us, please? This first and last.